So thank you so much for agreeing and sharing so much of your precious time with us today, Candy. And for those of, okay, so just for those who may be listening to this, most of the people listening either soon or in the future are likely to be a yoga teacher or a yoga enthusiast in some way. I'm not really quite sure what term to use these days, but embodied practices, sacred practices that include sacred movement, whether from Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, combination, et cetera. So for those who may not know you, because I adore you, and we met actually recently, just in 2020, but to me, I feel like I've known you my entire life. It was one of those, the first time you opened your mouth, I was like, oh my gosh, I wanted to like run through the screen and be like, I'm here, do you remember me? Because I remembered you, like my heart, my soul, my spirit remembered you. And so, yeah, so I'm really excited that we get to share some of this connection with others. But yeah, for those who don't know you, can you introduce yourself in terms of like where you are, the people you serve, you know, what you provide to your community? How do you guide people or serve people?
Yes. My name is Candy. I am in the DMV area. So I cover areas of DC, Maryland, and Virginia with my practice. I am a yoga teacher and I would say a body movement coach. I wouldn't even call myself necessarily a yoga teacher. I like to call myself more so of like a yoga guide. I think because I'm always evolving, always growing, always learning, and just being able to share that knowledge with others that I may encounter is kind of how I see myself. So more of a guide, so to speak, in embodied movement modalities in how we express ourselves. How do we open up and connect to our inner thoughts, our innermost souls? How are we connecting with source in our purpose in the world? And so that's something that I really work to do, and something that I love to be able to share with other people. I think I covered all of it. Did I cover all of it? I'm so just like cheesing at one another.
I know, we already have like sore cheeks to go. Reason why I wanted to specifically bring you on to have this little interview is because you also have shown a very dedicated and sincere interest in working with private clients. And working with private clients, when I was teaching my 200-hour teacher training, I was actually encouraging students to start there because and I think there was a little surprise in the room because they were like, oh, you know, because a lot of people think of maybe a gym setting or their introduction, which may have been a group setting, whether studio, gym, community center, church, outdoors. And so the idea of doing a private for some people seems very intimidating, while my perspective, granted, I come from a, like, I feel comfortable with one-on-ones just because of my clinical background, is that I really encourage it because you really, really get to know people and individualize and learn a lot, right? You're all, as a teacher, you're always the student. But I'm curious to you, like, what drew you to working with private clients? And like how did that start, or did it organically grow?
Yes. So mine, I started out, as most people know, teaching in community centers, and it's something I still do, and very public settings, pretty much anywhere I can get my foot in the ground. I was a very new teacher, but I was very anxious to teach, and I was very anxious to share this, would have been such a reward to me, with other people. And so I was constantly in these conversations and constantly talking about it. And so I kind of became like, my family will tell you, like, in a sense, they're like, you're obsessed with yoga. Like, is it a cult? Like, that's the only thing that you talk about. But it wasn't so much of like what most people I think see is like the asana or like the physical practice, but it was so much more than that. So much more, just, I felt like I had evolved so many lifetimes by becoming a yoga teacher and taking my practice very seriously. And so having that, I had a mentor who I you know, we had one-on-one time, and seeing their interaction with people was something that I admired, something that I wanted to explore for myself, and how they were able to make these very special connections to individuals. And a piece of me was like, I felt called. It felt like that resonated with my soul. And so it just honestly became something that was organic. I would have those conversations with people and they would feel the passion. And so they wanted to be a part of it. So they were like, you know, where are these classes? Where are you teaching? And then there were people who it wasn't matching up necessarily with their schedules. And so for me, I'm like, well, you know, I'll meet you where you are. Like, what's your schedule? What do you have going on? And so it evolved where I was, that's kind of, it wasn't necessarily something that I called like privates at the time, but I would meet people and accommodate whatever they had going on. So if that was going to their house, or, you know, if they had a few friends and they had like an event they wanted me to be at, that was something that I would accommodate. And then it became a system of sort of referrals. And so so one person had me for an event, and then another person had me for an event, and they were like, oh, you know, I really enjoyed what we did here. Can we do more of that? And I was like, oh, sure, we can set that up.
I love it. Yeah,
that can happen. It was a very organic thing. One of my first consistent clients I had was actually a referral from my father. He had a coworker, because I talked about yoga so much, and she was someone who wanted to become active again. And so he's like, well, you know, I see my daughter, she's doing this all the time. And it seemed a little slow. This is before he did his first yoga class. I mean, he was like sweating bullets afterwards. But he said, you know, I have my daughter, she does yoga. And so it was with one of his coworkers. And so I would go to her office, and we had a very consistent schedule. And of course, I hadn't fine tuned everything at that point, but it was someone who I was able to formulate and kind of like figure out what was working for me, what felt right. And I definitely relied on her feedback for how she would, you know, how we engage with one another. And so from there, she was someone who was very consistent. And she actually, I ended up doing it private to her because she didn't feel comfortable with her practice in front of other people. And so, and you'll meet people like that. So you have people from all different walks of life and where they are in their practice. And so because she didn't feel comfortable, this was something that felt a little bit more rich for her, as well as it was just something that, you know, she thought she could call. It was a call to action, you know, like, for, you know, I'm setting up these appointments, I'm paying this money, I need to be consistent and show up for myself. And then it required me to show up for her as well and show up for myself to be consistent. And so it ended up branching on referrals and things of that nature. And so it kind of just naturally grew from there.
Thank you so much. So the first thing I heard is like, just you were doing the work, right? As a new yoga teacher, it's not like you sought out privates. It was more like you just knew you were excited about sharing. Mm-hmm. And that excitement trickled, like it created a ripple effect. And, mm-hmm. and then through word of mouth, like referral or word of mouth, people knew your name. So it really just started. So if you're a new teacher, right, or coming out mm-hmm. of a teacher, you're like, now what? Well, here it is. You just have to start, right? Like, you just have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And then once the word of mouth gets out, then it sounded like your life actually allowed you to be adaptable and adjust to other people's schedules, right? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's an important piece. Like, for me, mm-hmm. as a mom with kids with certain school schedules, I know my work hours. And so if it's fit within there, I have to be able to say no. But mm-hmm. if someone had a more flexible schedule, I remember those days, you know, it's a lot easier to be like, yes, I can meet you at 6 p.m. Right? So mm-hmm. you have more flexibility in your day, it sounds like.
Yeah. Awesome. And I was working in a school setting, so we had the summers off. So I did have that flexibility of being able to, you know, oh, you know, I'm not doing as many things during the day. I can come and meet you in your office for an hour. Like, that's no problem. And I would just kind of structure the rest of my day around it. And then as I got more clients, just being able to structure like, okay, in relevance to time, how long is it going to take me to get to one person to the next? As well as, if this route conducive to me not burning myself out. All right, cool. I can do this. This feels good. I'm going to manage here. This feels right. So now where I'm at a point where I feel very comfortable in the amount of clients that I have and the amount of balance. But I think that's a fun conversation. Maybe we can have that at another time, or maybe we can even get into a little later of like transitioning with COVID and having private clients as well.
Yeah, like if we can weave that in, that would be great, because I don't think that necessarily things are just going to bounce back to the way they are. It's actually given us a lot of space to recreate and rethink what do privates look like now. So please feel free to please.
Yes. Yeah. Something that when it first all happened, of course, everything shut down. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know how long this was going to last. And so something that I pivoted to, and something that I still have, are virtual sessions. And so I started having my public offerings, my classes, those were all online, but I also offered the virtual experience for my private clients as well. So, you know, they put up the camera at a nice angle where I can see everything that's happening. And we, you know, it's very much so as if we are in person, but you still have that safety and security of making sure that you are where you are, where you feel comfortable, and I'm where I'm at, but I'm still able to give you that one-on-one attention. I'm still able to give those adjustments. And I think that's really important. Something we learned in our 300, shout out to Indra, about anatomy and being able to really physically vocalize what parts of the body do you want them to connect with when you don't have that, you can't make those personal adjustments. You can't have that actual physical touch with a person. How else do I connect to get you where you want to be? And so just getting very good with my vocabulary and my anatomy has been a big help with that. But also being communicative, following up with your clients, because it's easier, life, you know, kind of can get in the way. It's easier for them to lose track of the progress that they've made because we aren't in person. And so I think they're a little bit more relaxed. And so something that is very, very important to me is outside of making sure that we're setting up appointments is seeing how is your mental health, you know, how are you doing, you know, where are you at? And having that engagement and being receptive to whatever feedback they're giving. And so it's not always, you know, hey, you know, I'm contacting you. Are we having an appointment? Yes or no. It's, you know, I just want to know how you're doing, you know, what's going on in your life. And where do you see yoga fitting into that? You know, and so there have been clients that I have, we've changed up their schedule a little bit and reduced their classes, or, you know, I give them homework. So they have assignments to work on their own, maybe because they have different schedules happening. The kids are running around, or you know, maybe the budgets change. And so it's not, I don't want to leave you because, you know, we aren't as available to connect as we would be before. So definitely giving them homework, being a support system, and figuring out other ways outside of the physical practice. How can I show up for my client? How can I show up for myself? How would I want someone to show up for me?
Oh, I love this. So do you mind sharing an example, either real or just on the fly? Example of what that homework might look like. So I'm one of your clients, and now I realize, wow, I don't have 60 minutes. Are your sessions in person? About how long are they?
So they vary between 45 and 60 minutes, depending on what kind of lineup that we've set up. And I need to like go backwards about like intake and consult and how all of that works. So I'll definitely, let's make a little note to myself.
Yeah, and we'll get to, I would love to do the details. I do have a quick question just because we're on it. Like, what does homework mean to you? Like when you say that, just to kind of get out of the bubble of it, just has to look like asana, right? Like as a yoga teacher, your tool bag is huge, really.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. What type of homework are you giving?
So some of the fun things that I like to do if I have, like I work with a lot of athletes and students who are in school, I'll give them movie homework, right? So maybe the asana practice is something that they've signed up for, but mom and dad signed you up for it because they see that it'll help your athletic practice. And, you know, if you're, you know, playing football or basketball or something like that. And so maybe you have not gotten in touch with your body so much. So I might recommend a movie for you to do. Or I might recommend something I like to do when the students get distracted, if I like come to their home, maybe I'll have them do it in a comfortable setting for themselves. Like, hey, I won't be there, but see how this practice goes if you try it for a few minutes by yourself. And then give me that feedback. Were we still distracted? Did it feel a little bit different? Did you feel a little bit more connected? Some of the other things, what will I do? It can be asana sometimes. So it might have something that you might do is like repetition. You might have to do something consistently. So like sun salutations, you know, like, all right, just making sure you're getting some physical movement. And it doesn't, we're not necessarily working on a posture or a pose, but we want to keep ourselves active. So make sure we're getting in those sun salutations or something I know helps with flexibility. We need to stay hydrated. All right, give me a check-in when you drink your water. So I'll have clients text messaging me, like, all right, I finished my 8 ounces, finished my 3 cups, my 10 cups, well, you know, whatever that layout is that we've set, just to, again, have them accountable and to be an accountability partner.
I love that. Thank you for sharing an example. I think it becomes really helpful for people, especially new when you're like, the teacher trainings are often so hyper-focused on the embodied practices and we sometimes forget about like how big our toolbox actually is. So thank you for sharing that. So would you be willing to take us through like pretending you have a new, like take us through the process of what it now looks like and maybe throwing in, like, I remember it used to look like this, but now it looks like this. Like, how does that relationship, I've contacted you, right? Like the person has contacted you or you have a referral, then what? Like, what is the process from there all the way to our first meeting, second meeting, third meeting? You don't have to go through it like super detailed, but then what is the, is there follow-up too? Can you take us through that process so that like someone can understand and pulling in some of these questions that we've had even through our alumni group of, you know, like how much do you charge and what do intakes look like and things like that?
So I've been contacted. The very first thing that I want to do is set up an interview to figure out the person that I'm talking to. And that's usually set up on Zoom, just because we're going to do a little bit of a physical assessment to see where we are and what we are getting ourselves into. But during the time, as soon as we set up the interview, I'm going to send you an intake form. So very much so as if you were going to the doctor or, you know, to get a massage. We want to know, what do you have going on health-wise? You know, what types of things are we seeking to accomplish through our practice? Maybe what is your history with yoga? What do you know about yoga? And how do you spend your time? What shoes do you wear? You know, what are things that bring you joy? You know, what makes you think that having a private session versus a public session will connect with you for where you want to go. I have had private clients where I've switched them over to public classes just because their commitment strayed from what we were able to accomplish having that, you know, one-on-one time. And also to understanding your gut. So from the very first moment that you meet someone, listen to your gut instincts about that energy. Just because you have a private practice and you take in private clients does not mean that you need to take in everyone, and everyone won't be for you. And that's perfectly fine. And so we have to have that awareness that because we are doing something and because we are exchanging energy, it needs to be reciprocal, right? And if it doesn't feel good for you, it won't be something that you'll be able to sustain, and then, you know, on both ends. So make sure that this feels good. You know, this is a relationship that you're building and committing to. Make sure it feels like a place that you want to be in. So I have a myriad of questions that I ask them on the intake form, and I can go ahead and forward you that as well so you can see an example of it. But setting all of that up, kind of getting them to think about those questions, thinking outside of the box, you know, like, all right, do we think it's just to asana? Are we seeking pranayama? You know, like, what do we want to do more meditation? What do we know? How do we want to spend our time? So then you can individualize that practice for them. And then, you know, from the initial interview and walking through the intake form, seeing, you know, how they're feeling, how they're reacting, and then doing a small assessment for them to see how flexible they are. So that might be something as simple as having them touch their toes or reaching our hands up, We're opening our arms, just seeing their range of motion, how we want to start their initial session. So if we have someone who has a dancer, she has a different range of motion than someone who was a football player. They tend to have tighter muscles and less flexibility, you know, a lot more strength. So we can build on that. But we know where we want to work on as well, right? When I want to give you a release, I give you something that may be strength induced. If you know strength is your strong suit, but if it's not, then I want to be able to curtail that. And so just really taking the time to figure out what they do in the day. If they sit at their desk every day, they're hunched over, you know, want to open up that heart space. How are we going to open up the spine? How are we going to counter that? Because that can, in a way, sort of be an exercise to the body. And so I think just really doing your homework and looking into always being a student. And so when I'm saying always being a student, you're looking into other professionals of the business, you know, how are they handling similar work, you know, always just keeping yourself abreast to what's going on in the community. How are people handling different things? And then from there, something that I love to do is to find out their budget. And so that gives me an idea of whether or not, along with if I'm feeling good energy, is this something that is in line with what I'll be able to do? Will I be able to provide that service for them? And so so I do offer sliding scale for students, for elementary, middle school, and high school students, also to offering discounts if they have more than one person. So if it's two people, it's a much different price than if it's, you know, two people coming at a separate time. And
can I ask a question about that?
Is
this a question on your intake form that says like, what's your budget, and they fill it in, or do you provide bubbles that they mark? How does that look? Because this is brilliant. I've actually never heard of someone asking it so directly as part of their intake. And I think this is brilliant.
Thank you. I asked them from their perspective, just because I want to see where their mindset is. That gives me a framework of how much are you prioritizing this, and how much of an investment do you think this is worth? You know, what is the worth of this investment? And then regulate from there. Alrighty, if this is a budget, and normally for that price, I would only do one session per week. All right, normally for that session, I would do this many sessions, and then two, right? So if your budget is a little bit smaller and I'm only able to accommodate one session, maybe then you have more homework. So again, I don't want to necessarily leave you out. Or, you know, again, I might offer you to come to some of the public classes, and we're countering that with one of the private sessions. Or maybe if I know someone who might have different price offerings or might be willing to travel to that area for that price, then maybe I'll reference a friend. So never want to let someone just leave like, sorry, no, that doesn't work. Just knowing how to address their needs.
I love that. Thank you so much. That is so helpful. And then just in terms of like what you charge per hour, it's up to you if you want to actually share how much you charge per hour. It sounds like you actually, it's unique to every situation, but has that increased over the years? Have you stayed with the same thing that you started with? What did you do behind the scenes from your own kind of intake and assessment of like, where do I even start? Like, where is that value of, yes, I can do this as a private, or well, this is more of a like group setting.
Mm-hmm. So in thinking about pricing, I think about it as something similar as like going to, because it's a wellness modality, I think of it as similar to going to get a massage. And so every city, every place is different. And so I do research on what are some of the similar services charging in the area, right? And so for a massage, that's one-on-one time. All right, they're touching, it's hands-on. How does this feel comfortable? This feels like a good number. The very first mistake I made when I started was thinking with my own pockets about what people would be able to afford. And that is a lesson that I learned because I was shorthanding myself, because I became like, I was like, you know, I'll basically like do it for free. And that's because we have this love, this pure passion. Oh. And I ended up where I was like losing money, like just being so excited to be able to share this wonderful gift. And so thinking on a more from a business perspective and how to sustain yourself, I had to include things like, all right, are we traveling to them? Are they coming to us? You know, how long is that travel time? How much time in between do I need to get to a client, as well as what other things do I have going on, right? So in doing it, that it does range in terms of pricing, my pricing model based on what I'm offering per person. But I had to think about, is this something that, all right, can I check this off? Does this, and I usually, when I'm talking to clients, they have an option to pay upfront. They're saving money if they pay upfront, right? They have that buy-in option. They, and also as well, I just lost my thought. Oh my goodness. Where did my thought go?
No worries. We're talking about payments and like sliding scale, yes. Or that some people are all, you know, pay a, like, a bundle upfront.
Mm-hmm. So if you're paying upfront, you have more access to trainings, as well as it's easier. You kind of are like putting your stick in the mud. This is what I want to do. It is you committing to self again. And you have more flexibility on your end of what you're able to do when people are buying into themselves. And so that's something that I definitely encourage from clients, that they have it, like, set it up, give this gift to yourself and make this something that, because you feel good after you do it, you know, you enjoy it, give yourself that opportunity in advance if you have that availability. And then if you don't, when will you assess that commitment? When will you have an answer for yourself? And just really being able to make it work. Really, and I don't even know how to describe it. I really do believe in following your gut, following your intuition, and making it work if it works for you. If it's something that you can afford to do, then allow yourself to grow from it and use it as a modeling example. And if it doesn't, then go ahead and make those adjustments. That's definitely what I would say. But my starting point was looking at what other services in the area were being offered for. And then as I've progressed, as I've gotten more certifications, I've, you know, increased the price based on experience, based on knowledge, just as much so as like a doctor would annually have like a small increase on pricing. And so I've made adjustments, but that's something I always communicate to clients beforehand to make sure that they're okay with it. And if this adjustment is something that's feasible for them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that's realistic too, because, you know, just like if you were to work for an employer, generally cost of living is taken into consideration with salaries and benefits and all that. And we don't have that. You know, we work for ourselves. And so we need to look out for ourselves in that same way. We don't have, you know, all those things in place, but thank you for sharing that. That's a really good reminder. So once you have that conversation with someone, you've done the intake, right there in that intake time, do you set up, are you already saying like, yes, I can work with this person, I'm listening, or do you kind of say, thank you, we've done our intake, I'll contact you back? What does that look like?
I treat it like, a first date, right? So for me, it's like, I've had this engagement, we're feeling good, this feels right. All right, let's agree to take the next step. All right, do we want to move forward? Does this feel good for you? And always giving the client the autonomy to, you know, if they need time, having that option to make the adjustments and corresponding with them. Most of the time, people do, they're ready to go ahead and jump in. And at that point in time, then they'll make a deposit on their classes. And that is 50% of the session. And then they'll pay for the rest of the session at the end of their session for first sessions, right? Just to kind of have a trial.
Yeah. So the assessment is like included. It's, you don't charge for the assessment part?
No, I do not charge for the assessment part. But it's included in the cost of the first session. So if
got
we work
it, got
that
it, yeah.
first session, then we go ahead and we follow up. It's already included. But I found that by having the conversation, and offering up your time, people are very thankful for it. They're very grateful for it. And so usually it progresses to them making an appointment, So it usually has a good setup for me.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just one, I think that is so important is for the person to see you, right? Mm-hmm. And that you're committed and also holding a space. It's like you said, it is like dating, because all of it is about relationship, right? Like that's mm-hmm. what yoga mm-hmm. teaches us, is our relationship with self, our relationship with other. So you're bringing that aspect of the practice, even to the beginning, initial contact of what does this relationship look like? And am I the best for you? Maybe it's mm-hmm. a referral. I think that that mm-hmm. is a sign of an incredible like guide or facilitator. Mm-hmm. That we are not always the best person for their needs or, mm-hmm. And so it was really exciting for me to hear that you also refer, because I think that that's a, it can be hard at first, because you're like, I just want to get started. I want to work with everyone. But to keep in mind that at the beginning, if you're at the beginning and you get a really complicated, and when I say complicated, I mean, it could be anywhere from physical to emotional to all of it, to maybe just timing wise, like mm-hmm, it has mm-hmm. to be every other Monday at 3 and then every other yeah. Tuesday at 2:30, you're like, whoa, I just can't, you know,
yeah,
that you hold that boundary, like you said, like that gut instinct of like, is this for me right now as mm-hmm. a facilitator and guide? And if it's not, let's find you someone who is a better fit and a match. Mm-hmm. And I bet those people that you refer back to too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It becomes a reciprocal model of, you know, getting new clients and sharing. Even sometimes people come back, you know, all right, I've advanced to this space. And I remember what you said, this was poignant when we had our conversation. Can we explore this now? And so you can reassess, like, is this something time has passed? We've developed in a different way. Do we want to give this another go? And you have that discussion and have that openness and go ahead. It really feels good to you. What feels innate and what brings you joy? That's something that's really, really important. If you're not receiving joy from it, I'm going to keep reiterating it, then it won't be something that you will prosper with. Make sure that it is bringing you joy. And what
amen, yes.
you are making, make sure that it's bringing you joy. And that also goes to setting yourself up in a productive way where you have time to feed into your own soul. So just as much as we're giving out energy, we're picking up energy, and that can be depleting. Make sure that you're setting time aside for yourself to keep up with your yoga practice, because very quickly, and we have friends, and it's probably happened to us, where we get on that hamster wheel of trying to teach everything everywhere, place to place. Your car is filled with blocks and mats and changes of clothes and all of the things. And you don't know where your head is from your toe, but you're preaching to people that, oh, you know, you got to live this roundabout life. You know, you have to live this way, but you're not being an example of it. You're not being a model of it, because you've burnt yourself out and you don't want to put yourself in that position. So just being mindful of, can I accommodate this? Can I afford this mentally, physically, emotionally? Am I doing okay at all times? And recognize, set up that boundary when you need a break. Make sure you're communicating that. Make sure you're setting aside time for yourself. If that means taking away a client, give yourself that time and give yourself that investment, and it'll pay off tenfold for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure that client as well appreciates your holding that model of, like, you're modeling it, right? And so mm-hmm. I appreciate that they also have another example of someone with boundaries and professional communication and mm-hmm. willingness to say, hey, I'm not, whether you say I'm not okay right now, or you just take the stance of like, I need some time and mm-hmm. push this off. Like that's a great, I think that that's again, we model perhaps a new way of interacting and relating with people, rather than this just go, 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 go. It's on the calendar. We have to do it.
Yeah, because the next steps up, I think in my mind, like this idea of like this perfectionism, oh, you're always smiling, you're always bright, right? And then like behind the scenes, like it's a firestorm, right? You don't want to be that example at all. And so it's very, if I'm taking a vacation, it's important to communicate that like, hey, I need my cup refilled. Or even when we did our 300-hour training, I communicated that to my clients. Hey, I'm making an investment in myself so that I can be a better teacher to you going forward. That is going to reduce schedule. That is going to mean less time spent with us right now, but I'm definitely coming back. I'm definitely going to reinvest. I'm coming back better than ever. And I'm just going to take some time down so that I can do that. And if they really do appreciate it, they, you know, they wait, they hold on. And then giving them those tools in the meantime, giving them that homework in the meantime, if that's a book, if that's, you know, a pre-recording, and that gets into something that we can talk about as well, as like, have you set up something that when you're not around, or maybe by chance you get sick, do we have something in place so that they continue their practice? So everything's not stopping, you know, so they don't feel like just completely let go.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I love that. So let's talk about this. So are mm-hmm. you, now that we're COVID times, most of them are online, you said, but mm-hmm. before that, sometimes you were going to their houses, or was this mm-hmm. a studio space? What did the location look like?
So usually I travel to them. And it's something that we are setting up our schedule. I try to do it a week in advance if I'm setting up any changes. If we have people that are pretty consistent, just confirming like, you know, is this what feels good to us? Is that what we're going to work with? And then moving forward in the week, I do everything virtually. Right now, I have about one or two clients that I do in person, but I always make sure that I'm COVID tested. I make sure that, you know, they have their updated, you know, testings. We're taking all the proper protocols in place to make sure that we're being as safe as possible when we're interacting with one another. But definitely making sure when we are online, giving them that full experience the same way that I would if we were in person. I feel like I missed a piece of the question. I guess
no, I'm just talking about location in terms of you totally answered it. It was just like, okay. Did you go to their place? Did they come to your house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going to their office.
Yeah.
Going to their office, going to their space, going to their home. And then also with that, making sure you feel comfortable in their home. Does it feel conducive? Do they have the proper spacing? Do they have whatever you will need to facilitate the session? And then making the adjustment if they do not. So just listening, really tapping into those instincts, really tapping into that intuition of, does this feel like something maybe I might want them to come to me? And then you have the option of maybe renting out a space at a gym, a smaller local gym, or renting out a studio space. And then with that, if you are doing that for a client, making sure you're including that in the cost that you're offering them so that you're not hurting yourself too much on the back end. And then that's something that people don't mind when you're explaining what's happening, the different breakdowns there.
Yeah. And so did you bring your own props to their house, or would you ask them to invest in props, or do you even use props?
You're fine. I do include props. I teach my students to, not my students, I teach clients to, because I didn't want to take any ownership. I have no ownership here. Whenever they are signing on, I give them a list of investment pieces. Here are some fun items that you might want to go ahead and purchase. Here are some mats that I recommend, some blocks, some straps. And as we develop, these are some other things that you might want to look into. But here's a list just in case. It's not anything that is a necessity outside of the mat. I also too keep mats with me. I sanitize them, keep them clean in case, you know, if I go to the office and maybe someone forgot it for the day. But that's something that they'll let me know in advance.
Nice. And then now with COVID, if you're online, they either have something or grab a beach towel.
Mm-hmm. A beach towel.
Grab your tie or a belt mm-hmm. if you don't have a strap. Yeah.
If we're doing inversions and we're practicing handstands, then, you know, roll up a towel and put it in your thigh, as opposed to if I'm there with you, I might have a noodle or some other type of tool. Just using what we have around, you know, if you don't have a block, let's go ahead and use a nice thick book that we might have available, and just really being accommodating. So it's not anything that has to be, you know, we don't have to have, you know, the most expensive of anything. And, you know,
yeah,
that's a conversation we could get into, where we're being sold all these wonderful things to have the best. But when you are starting out, you're not sure how long you're going to be into it. And so while it does require you to make a small investment that you're making into yourself, it doesn't I don't ever want it to feel like anything that's pressurized, or, you know, you've spent $1,000 and stuff just to take a class, you know, like, you don't want it to be like that. So definitely giving them options, and I give different price ranges for everything too, just so they can do whatever feels good for them.
Love this. And this is a piece of paper you have already created. So you're either mm-hmm. emailing it to them.
I email it. I already have it drafted up with some different options. And so they'll go ahead and get that once we've confirmed the appointment.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And and it probably has links on it. So they just like,
mm-hmm. yeah, they're hyperlinked.
Make it as easy as possible for them, which is so beautiful. It really just hearing this process is like, yeah, I want to work with someone who makes it as easy as possible so I can just show up. Right. And mm-hmm. session and my time with you. Mm-hmm. So when we show up, what does your session look like? So let's say, okay, we're doing an online session because that's the times we're in right now, but like mm-hmm. timing wise, is it possible to break it down, or is every session totally different? Like, can you say I spend about the first 10 or 15 minutes checking in, or it's 5 minutes? Like, or can you take us through what that looks like once you're in person with them, either online or in person?
Of course. So it's very person dependent, dependent on what structure and model we've created for what we want to be able to advance to with our practice. And so some people have meditation that they want to include, which is something I put on the back end of class. I always, always, always start off with pranayama, and they're always making sure that they are checking in with self, having a moment of silence. Most people have been running with all of the chaos throughout the day. We're going to take a moment to just have some solitude by ourselves. And maybe you didn't give it to yourself, but I'm here to give you full permission to have time with yourself. And so we'll probably spend about 5 minutes of just grounding ourselves and preparing ourselves for the practice. And then from there, we'll go into whatever it is. From the very first session, we keep it very slow. It's not anything that's going to be too crazy, unless, of course, there's something that you've requested. You want something that's a little bit more vigorous. You want something that's more like a vinyasa flow, depending on, you know, whatever accommodations that we made. But we spent about, I would say, no more than 10 minutes on having a moment of just like pranayama as well as grounding. And then we move into about, if we're doing an hour session, that's about 35 to 40 minutes of asana. And then we're ending it with a few moments of meditation. I will be honest, I do usually go maybe 5 minutes over, 5 to 10 minutes over, but I really see it as long as they are okay. And I ask for permission, like, hey, if I go over, is that okay? I see it as kind of like just this really yummy gift of like, we were enjoying each other so much that we got those little extra nuggets of moments together. And so of course that's not anything that I'm charging anyone for, but just being able to be in the moment. So I'm not necessarily staring at my clock, but I think as you progress, you'll kind of understand the flow of time. Okay, all right, we've been doing this for this a bit of amount of time, so we can transition, or maybe we're ready to come down. Maybe the body's ready to rest and disengage for a little bit. So that's pretty much usually the structure of it.
Yeah, I thank you for sharing that. And so at the end, this was always the most awkward part for me when I did private back in the day, was the end, because they are in a classroom. It was a little different because there was kind of space for you to go to the lobby, you know, and allow people to kind of re-engage with the world in their way slowly as they put props away or go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But But I always found this part at the end to be really kind of where my personal, I could feel like my comfort zones being like, I don't know how to end this. So how do you end a session without it being weird? Because I always felt like my, I ended a, and it's different as a, like in the clinical setting, it's very different. But like that space, you feel really almost vulnerable, like on both sides. And you don't want to just be like, okay, peace out, bye.
Right, right. Really, thank you so much. I love that question. Just because it's something that I've had a challenge of like learning and growing through experience with myself. But I would say that I like to come to the mat. I like to meet them where they are. And so we have, we usually sit up in some form of seated position, and you know, I slowly walk them through the process of coming back into this space, starting to be more aware of their surroundings and what colors are in the room when they, when they're going to open their eyes, or, you know, what beings are going to be around. And so usually that gives them some time to make the adjustment, so it's not so awkward. And then greeting one another when they do open their eyes with a moment of namaste, so that we can have that final connection moment. And then I sit there quietly until they give me whatever response that they are ready to give me, if that's them moving or if it's them sitting there quietly for a bit. And then, you know, I'll take the cue and have a few moments there with them. And then possibly I'll start to move, but again, still giving them that time to process whatever they have going on, and then letting them make it. So I, my best bet is to not make it awkward. So thinking, getting that out of my head of, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. It's like, no. This is okay. This is all right to have that moment of quietness, this moment of stillness, letting them process it. Yeah. This, okay. You know, like it doesn't have to be this uncomfortable thing. You've set out your intention of what you want to be able to offer in them, and letting them receive it. Don't counteract that by being, oops, sorry, gotta go. You know, like letting it rest, letting it just be.
I love Raquel's phrase of just extending the experience. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that to me has real, I, the first time I heard that, I just like clamped on it. I'm like, oh yeah, Raquel, that is the most concise way of saying it, right? Like, how can we just extend this experience? Yeah. It doesn't mean like stay disconnected. It means how can we take what we've learned and really like, okay, I'm reawakening to getting my shoes back on and phone, but not just going, oh, nice practice. You know,
gotta go. Right.
Where I was, but how do we allow this to integrate into our day, in our next interaction, in our next relationship, in our next step?
Yeah. So definitely inviting them to come back when they are ready, you know, whenever they feel connected, whenever they're ready to bring back that movement into the body, whenever they are ready to join back in the unison that we've created, whenever they are ready, allowing that to be, letting them drive the ship, letting them have, you know, some space to make some choice. All about autonomy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, yeah, because it really is a service. Like we're being of service, right? In many ways, that's not just like a one-dimensional, it's like a multi-dimensional space. So, okay. So now they're like coming to, and they, I, not like they were passed out, but you know what I mean? Like, we're emerging from Shavasana meditation space, and most everyone listening to this will understand what that means. So what does this look like now?
From there, usually I'll probably be like on a mat. So that's me beginning to move my things about. And if they're still having a moment of silence, allowing them to have that space. Another reason why I like to take care of payments beforehand, is so that smart. I'm not interrupting whatever piece that they're in. We know talking about finances for a lot of us, it can be something that kind of makes us itchy or awkward, or, you know, hey, where's my money? We don't want to necessarily have to do that. So just allowing for provisions beforehand, where it's already taken care of, so that they can just enjoy the experience being presented.
Yeah. And do also, I assume, do all the scheduling either before for the next appointment, or it's already been done because they've purchased the package, or they meant to do a package. So you're also not taking the end of the day to be like, okay, so when are we going to schedule our next appointment? That might pull them out of that experience in that space.
Right. Cause then you gotta go rush and find your calendar. And you run, we don't want to do any of that. I'm doing all of that beforehand. Or if you aren't sure, maybe you're going out of town, you don't know what your schedule is going to be like, the availability to say, hey, check in with me when you get a chance is no pressure here. And then, you know, if it's been a day or day or two, just reconfirming the last time we spoke on this date. Does this date still work for you? And then, you know, letting them have that space to say, hey, no, you know, in fact, it doesn't. Thanks for reminding me. Or yes, we're still good to go with that date. And so if you do have clients who are on one-on-ones, then once they set that date, then they're going ahead and they're paying for class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. That's so helpful. Yeah. And I think especially for people who may be wanting to do more one-on-ones, just kind of like having a timeline of these are so beneficial, right? Like I'm sure these are a lot you had to figure out on your own.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is like that conversation. Yeah. Oh, I wish I'd had this conversation when I was starting out. And now forward so someone doesn't have to. I mean, and part of starting is starting, and there's going to be so many things that even we suggest or you learn from someone else and you just realize, wow, that doesn't work for me. And so part of the process of, you know, running your own ship in terms of whether you call yourself an entrepreneur or not, but if you're getting paid for service, you are, is like, you have to stumble in order to learn what works for you. And that's definitely part of the process.
Yeah, being open to those lessons is what I always say. So it's not necessarily that something that you're stumbling or falling or you did it wrong. You created a space for you to learn a lesson of how you would like to guide yourself going forward. And so I definitely had those opportunities where I was like, all right, lesson learned. This is how I'll adjustment. And this is what I'll do going forward. And so something else I think is really important with that is learning your boundaries. So how are you communicating with your clients? When are you communicating with your clients? How are you setting up those appointments, and how are you communicating with them? What is their preferred preference of communication? Some people like to text, some people like to call, some people like to email, and you want to definitely make sure you're making yourself available for those different modalities that people have. I think as well as making sure that you're keeping up with your clients. So we're making notes on progress. We're making notes on their preferred styles. You know, do they like it a little faster? Do they like it a little slower? Do they have a favorite posture? Whenever we touch on this posture, is that a pain point? They absolutely hate this posture. What progress have we made based on what they want to accomplish? So giving yourself that assessment and that report card, and then giving that feedback to your client, allowing them to give feedback to you of where they wanted that progress to be. It keeps the relationship engaging, and it keeps it a relationship. It keeps it reciprocal. What can I do better? What do you want more of? You know, like what do we have going on here? It's not one thing.
I love that. So you actually keep a student file? Like you have a file for you. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It sounds like the way a clinic is run. You know, each person has their file. You can take notes, and so you know preferences. I love that. That's so helpful too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And also keep up with invoices as well. So something I like to use is free is Streak Invoice. You send them however they're paying you. You're sending them a receipt so that they can use it on their end for tax purposes of what they have going on. And then you know how much you can keep count of how long someone has been with you. So then we can celebrate milestones. We can celebrate birthdays. You just have a place to keep all the odds and ends of how do we want this to flourish? How can we see, oh, right, we've made progress, we've made growth, as opposed to kind of just like running it, like, you don't want to run it very like, what part would I use? You don't want to run it like something like a machine, right? You want to tailor it to every individual person. If I know your birthday is coming up, and I know you like tea, you have tea after every session, maybe I might buy you a small tin to show you like, I care about you, you know, like time together, let's go ahead. You know, like I really do enjoy it. Or even thank you notes. That's something that's really special and something that I think has been really cool that I've seen a lot of enjoyment out of on both ends from myself and clients of like, just, it doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be fancy. It is saying, I appreciate you. I care about you. And I'm thankful for this opportunity that we get to share space and energy.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And I have a box of those personal cards, either from friends or clients or just random people, you know, and one of those days you stumble upon it and you end up going through and reading them all and you're bawling and it's just like, okay, life's good. You know, like, yeah. Thank you so much. I really want to be aware of our time here, but yes. I have this idea. You don't have to say yes to it, but are you open to a quick round of like 10 random questions and the first thing that comes to mind so that people can kind of get to know you in a little more, I guess, personal way? And you can always say pass as well. Are you open to it?
Do it.
Okay, awesome. So quick round here. And I'll try to make it quick because I know I did this with someone yesterday and I was like, oh, I want, you know, like I wanted to like learn more, but I'm going to try to quit, right? I'm going to try to keep it. So are you on team tea or team coffee?
Ooh, it depends on the day. It's been team coffee this week. We'll go with coffee.
All right. Would you rather be a fish or a bird?
A bird. I like flying. Yes, a bird.
All right. Team ice cream or team froyo, frozen yogurt?
Ice cream. I'm nodding. Ice cream.
Okay. So favorite flavor. We need to know flavor.
Ooh, wow. I'm a huge fan of, what is it? Oh my goodness. What is it? It's fish food from Ben and Jerry's. I love Ben and Jerry's. Their whole, the branding, everything. I will eat anything they make, but fish food is my favorite flavors for them.
I hear you. Favorite outdoor activity.
Grounding. I love being outside with my naked toes in the grass, walking around, feeling the earth. I love it. Or some people call it earthing. I absolutely love bare feet on the earth.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Favorite indoor activity?
For me, that would be my asana practice. I usually do it indoors. I can take it outdoors, but that's something that I really do enjoy. I have a whole corner set up for it. It's good times inside.
Oh, beautiful. Maybe one of these days we can get a picture of it. Maybe?
Yes. Maybe.
All right. Early riser. Yes, please. Or no, thank you.
No, thank you.
Favorite quote or inspiring saying? At the moment.
From The Alchemist. And when you want something, all of the earth conspires so that it may be so. That is one of my favorite books, absolute favorite quotes. I hear it all the time resonating in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I love that book too. Okay, mm-hmm. So on that, what book are you reading or what books are you reading right now?
Right now, I am reading Sacred Woman by Queen Afua. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book about just understanding your sacred femininity. It's something that I definitely stand by, something that I definitely practice. And so it's just reconfirmation for how I exist and how I show up in the world.
Yeah, and we didn't even go down that road, but that's like a whole other conversation that would be so fun to have with you.
Yes.
And final, what brings you hope? These days, what brings you hope?
Ooh, what brings me hope? Knowing that every person is just trying to find their kindness and survive. And I think that brings me hope is because it allows me to be non-attached. It allows me to understand that we are all trying to be good people. We are all trying to make it, and knowing that it's not malicious. You really do, you're searching for it. I mean, maybe you don't know how to describe it, and maybe you don't know how to connect with it, but knowing innately that we are all good people striving to be well, that brings me hope. And it makes me I don't look at what you're doing right here. I look into you, you know, where do you want to be? Where are you going to go? And it brings me so much joy. It brings me so much hope, because I really think there are more good people. I believe they're all good people. We just need help and assistance in getting there, connecting to those parts of us that feel good.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You are so inspiring and beautiful and lovely and kind. And I could go on and on and on, but I just really, really, really appreciate you taking part of your week to enlighten us and share and inspire, and also remind us of some really important things like boundaries and trusting your gut, and you know, like, we're human, right? We're going to stumble and then back up.
Take those lessons and use them going forward. You know, it's not the end of the world. That's what I love to say. It's not the end of the world. We have a chance to, you know, fix it and make the adjustment and go forward. Yeah.
Oh, I adore you. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share before we wrap this up?
What else?
Can people share? Oh, yeah, please share.
I was going to tell about my Instagram. It's the quickest place to find me right now. Mindful Intantress, mindful.intantress on Instagram. You can email me at healing@therainbowwellness.org. And other than that, those are like the two quickest ways, and we'll be around. I'm working on some fun things and getting out some more connection points. So tap into those areas and just be on the lookout.
Beautiful. And are you taking any new clients right now?
I am open. The books are open. So send me a DM, send me an email, and we can have some fun. We can make some fun stuff happen.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you. That was going to be my final question, is how do we find you? So I'm glad that you shared that. Yes. Thank you again for spending your time with us.